Welcome to CWC Dive Deep, where we take a deeper look into this past Sunday's message, seeking to grow in our faith and learn more about God. I'm your host, Caleb Swartz, the Spiritual Formation Director here at CWC, with Pastor Arley. Welcome to the podcast, Pastor Arley.
Thank you, Caleb. It's nice to be here.
Pleasure to have you as always. And this past Sunday, you spoke about a new fire ignited as we continued through our Empowered series. Mm-hmm. This was a really neat week.
Mm, thanks.
I mean, there was just a bunch of content that was new and fresh to me, but I'm curious, what was new for you or something that really caught your attention?
I think that I've always, I mean, at this point in number of times I've read the book of Acts, I don't even know. I've studied it, I've read it, done all kinds of things. So it's sometimes I feel like, is there going to be something new and exciting? But when I do research, I keep finding new things that I never knew before, or maybe I forgot. I don't I hope it's not that. Pretty soon I'll hide my own Easter eggs. Anyway, I hope that's not the case. But anyway, so what I really felt was oftentimes I just hear about Cornelius, and he was a centurion. I knew he was a Roman soldier. That's about all that I really think, because that's what it says in Scripture. And then, of course, gives his spiritual kind of profile, and it gives that. And then I'm kind of excited about what I'm seeing, but not really deeply processing what I'm hearing. So when I did and kind of did the study on it, I was just fascinated by the character of Cornelius and how he really demonstrated godly qualities in his life. And those are exactly like what we would want to see in our own lives. But I see those in Cornelius. So I'm pretty fascinated by all of that.
Yeah, and there were a number of things. Once you start to really analyze, well, what does Scripture say here? Oh, wait, what does that mean? And you kind of went through methodically and explained the different terms that were used. It really brought a lot of context to the situation that, you know, for myself personally, I never thought of previously. And
I guess I like thinking about him as the soldier and then as the seeker. Yeah. And so trying to think about those two perspectives of who he was and what shaped him, and then the kind of influence that he was having as well.
Yeah. Do we have any indication of how long Cornelius had been a Christian?
Well, he wasn't really a Christian. He was a God follower. And so...
Right. Important distinction, I guess.
Absolutely. Because it really, I mean, the message of Christ really hadn't come yet to him.
Yeah.
He was still really following the synagogue's practices, even though he was considered unclean and not allowed to attend.
Right.
Which, can you imagine somebody saying, you're not allowed to attend church, so you have to stay on the outside? And someone would say, okay, well, when do you pray? Because I want to pray at the same time you pray. I mean, can you imagine having that kind of a wonderfully gracious spirit to be able to still follow along and not be permitted to even be a part? So I think it's pretty interesting how it all worked out. And yet he was still hungry for God and very devout, very generous hearted in his giving to the poor, and really recognized as a man who prays.
Right. And when you talk about how he was practicing alongside, though never being part of the community, that just speaks to me. He must have been a dedicated, committed individual to his beliefs and to his values. And then you see that play out, like you just mentioned, and how he treated his community. So let's just recap. What do we know about how he treated the community of Caesarea?
Well, I think it's pretty fascinating to know that he was in charge of a cohort, which at that point, as we talked, was 480 soldiers. So there would have been a large level of influence that he would have had. They often say that John Maxwell always talks about a position of a leader is kind of one of the lowest leaders. It kind of elevates you to have that kind of influence. But unless you're a person of influence, the position doesn't mean that much.
Right.
In this case, he was obviously not only in a position, but also a person of influence. Yeah. And so looking at both of those, he was able to make a significant impact on those that he came in contact with. Said his whole family, household, was believers and was followers of the one true God.
Right.
And so so all of this kind of was working together.
Yeah, and the fact that the soldiers went on a personal errand, like you had mentioned, attention mm-hmm. spoke to his mm-hmm. personal authority, not his positional authority.
Correct.
So let's rabbit trail just a quick second. Uh-huh. He demonstrated servant leadership.
Yes.
Can you tell us what exactly is servant leadership and why is it so different from what the rest of the world kind of tries to do?
Well, certainly the example of Christ and servant leader, he had a position of leadership and yet he was willing to take whatever task was before mm-hmm, him mm-hmm. and serve. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, he took a servant's position mm-hmm. and yet he held a leadership position among them.
Right.
And they all recognize that. So yeah. I think it's probably for any one of us who are servant leaders, mm-hmm. there should never be anything beneath us.
Right.
And so there's just that willingness to do that. And I really see Cornelius as that person. Mm-hmm. I see him, you know, as one who was a godly, God-fearing kind of person. Mm-hmm. He was certainly sincere in his gifts to the poor. So he was trying to reach out and help make a difference. The Roman soldier would have had power over poor people. He would
right.
have had power over them. Yeah. And yet, instead of exhibiting his importance, mm-hmm. he was humbling himself to serve. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just kind of admiring Cornelius from a distance as the mm-hmm. more I understand who he was and what he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the relations between the Jews and the Romans at this time were not good, if I understand correctly.
It wasn't good at all. I mean, like, if you looked at Caesar, like, you looked at mm-hmm. who was over Rome or any of the leaders that were a part of that kind of leadership, they were, like, really not very admirable people.
Yeah.
And so you would almost think that would filter all the way down to everyone who mm-hmm. would be connected with it. But somehow it kind of skipped in this case. Mm-hmm. And we see just a really wonderful character quality that's being demonstrated in this person.
Yeah.
And so now, particularly in this city in Caesarea, there was a lot of tension that exists between the Syrian Romans or the Syrian Gentiles mm-hmm. and then the Jews
right.
that were there. So, and most times, as said on Sunday, the Romans would side in with the Syrians, so
yeah.
the Gentiles.
Yeah.
So there was some real tension between between Romans and Jews
mm-hmm.
and then Jews and Romans because they each felt superior to each other.
Sure.
And so, you know, then we have this humble man, Cornelius, who's mm-hmm. like really portraying a very different character.
Yeah. And then I'm certain that that kind of bias, prejudice, division that existed in Caesarea probably extended into Joppa as well. It was close enough. I imagine yeah. it probably did. So the fact that three soldiers were knocking on the door when Peter was there, I wonder what his response to that must have been initially. I mean, he had just kind of come out of a vision where God was revealing some truth to him.
Sure.
And God had given him some direction. So what is so astounding about the fact that he invited them in?
Well, see, Jews and Gentiles didn't have that relationship at all. I mean, even when the one woman came to Jesus mm-hmm. on behalf of a healing, and he said, you know, that he would he do this? And she said, certainly
right.
the dogs get the crumbs from the table.
Yeah.
Like, so she already understood what the perspective was between Jews and Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a great racial barrier that was mm-hmm. in between these. And talk about race relations. It was like intense at that point. And so we certainly see this must have been characteristic for Peter for his whole life. He would have, since he was young, mm-hmm. it would have been ingrained in him.
Mm-hmm.
You have no contact with Gentiles. Mm-hmm. I don't want you being eating with them. I don't want you going in their house. They shouldn't come into your house. And that's just the way it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to see this revelation of God, mm-hmm. where God suddenly changes the rules, and he's like, and so God showed it to him three times just to make sure. Did you get this, Peter? Like, this, I want this to be real clear. And then he goes down and lets the soldiers in, which was his first, that we know of, response to that of the breakdown between Jews and Gentiles. And he invites those three soldiers in. They stay overnight and obviously eat with him
mm-hmm.
and all of those violations that have never been permitted before. So you can't help but think about like the significance of all this
right.
and what was happening.
Yeah, I know for myself, I think, you know, when I've come to a greater awareness of what God's calling me to in my own life, how long has it taken me to take that step of
yeah,
obedience? And then
sure.
we have Peter here with an immediate response.
Mm-hmm.
So it is fascinating to think about. But then transitioning to the idea of kind of the racial prejudices that were there, or ethnic prejudices, obviously they exist today in our culture.
Sure.
In many forms.
And, you know, it's so sad because you have seen it demonstrated by Christians. And there's no place for that in our lives. Mm. And it doesn't really matter what you grew up with. You need to readjust your thoughts when you come to Christ. And I mean, that was true for Peter. It's true for us. Mm. And I think it's really easy for all of us to have some type of prejudice. Maybe it's not race, but, you know, some type of prejudice. And what we have to do is kind of talk ourselves through that, because we have a pathway that our brain has always gone to conclusion. Mm-hmm. Well, we have to change that and rewire that kind of thought process. Certainly. And realize that God has something so much more. And he wants us, everybody has something to contribute. And everybody is valuable.
Right. And as I've had conversation with other Christians that have been working through some of these thoughts, I know a response that I often hear is, I'm worried about compromising my Christian beliefs in order to support these individuals or this movement or this cause. So what would be your response when somebody has that fear?
Sure. I think it's so important that we can stand firm in our beliefs and yet love and unconditionally, because that's what God does. God doesn't change his belief system just because we're coming from a different perspective, but he loves us unconditionally, just like we are. And so I really feel there's many Christians stand for truth in the wrong way. And standing for truth in the wrong way is just as bad as standing just being wrong,
right?
Because it does such great damage. And I think that we have to come to the difference between acceptance and approval. I need to accept people as they are. It doesn't mean I approve of their behavior or of their choices.
Sure.
And so that's such an important part, but I can't let it prejudice me against them just because I don't approve of what they do. And so that's a very vital lesson, I think, that all of us have to keep in the forefront.
Yeah, because we can always be advocates for people to be treated well. That doesn't have to change.
Absolutely.
And so we can always make sure that we're on the forefront of challenging other individuals when we hear them maybe being unsure about how to respond, and making sure we're encouraging them to respond with love and fair treatment. Even though, like you said, we don't have to approve of it.
And, you know, I think that goes all the way down to our jokes and kind of the things that we make fun of or we laugh at. I think we have to be really careful. You know, I've heard enough race jokes inappropriate for us as Christians. Should have no place.
Yeah.
LGBTQ, same thing. It should have no place for us.
Yeah.
We should not get joy out of making fun of anyone.
No.
That's not a direction that we as believers need to be. So I think we need to be very setting a model, setting an example, but I think we need to be real conscious of those kinds of things in our culture and our world. Because if we're going to get a seat at the table and people are going to respect and appreciate it, then we need to make sure that we show the spirit of Christ.
Yeah. And I mean, that extends all the way down to just general joking with people. Humor at the expense of someone else is not humorous.
Absolutely.
And I think we need to be very careful in that.
It reflects our prejudice.
Right.
And when we laugh, it also contributes to it.
Yeah. So there we go. We're running out of time.
Oh,
that flew by.
It did.
Let me ask this. Is there a challenge you want to leave for listeners this week? Just something that you really think we need to focus on.
I think that following that kind of a pattern, I think that if we could all be asking God to help clear the pathways in our thoughts to love unconditionally those in our world, and to make sure, I mean, when I look at Cornelius, and I think he was able to gather a large gathering of people who were ready to hear a new message, I think his sphere of influence, based on his life, must have been pretty substantial. And I believe God is calling every one of us to have a sphere of influence that's substantial based on how we live our life.
Absolutely. There you have it. Great challenge as we move forward this week. And Thank you all for joining us today on CWC Dive Deep. Thank you, Pastor Arley.
Sure. Glad to be here.
And I hope you're challenged and encouraged to grow in your faith by what you've heard here. Check back with us next Monday for our next episode, where we're going to continue working through Acts in our series Empowered, The Church on Fire. Stay connected with us throughout the week by following CWC Milton on Facebook, and be sure to check out our website, cwc.life, where you can find more messages to dive deep into.